The mayor of Racine, John Dickert, made a surprise announcement this last week. This July, he'll be leaving office and heading to Chicago for a new job. Dickert was first elected in 2009, but he decided to cut his current term short by 2 years to become the executive director of the Great Lakes and St. Lawrence Cities Initiative. The group represents both U.S. and Canadian mayors of more than 100 cities on the Great Lakes. In recent months, the city's initiative stepped into the middle of a hot issue. The group is asking for a rehearing of the decision to allow the city of Waukesha to draw drinking water from Lake Michigan. Mayor Dickert has been at the center of the debate. He fears Waukesha's plan to return its treated wastewater via the Root River, which flows through Racine on its way to Lake Michigan, will impact its health. Lake Effect's Susan Bentz sat down with Dickert in his office at Racine City Hall, and he began by describing his decision to leave office.
It was incredibly tough. I mean, when you put your heart into this job, which I've done, I mean, I can't speak for any other mayors, but when you dive in and you put your heart and soul and your family into this position and then know that you have to step back, that's pretty tough to deal with. But it was a family decision. Every one of my decisions to run for office have always been family decisions. And we came to the conclusion that it was not only the right time, but that I would never be afforded the opportunity like I was afforded with this position.
So when you came on to Racine, you created or helped to create the city's first 10-year plan?
Yeah, that was part of the campaign was to, I never thought I was going to win the first primary. There were 13 of us. And we tried to change the narrative because I never thought I'd make it that far. So why not do something that at least drives us in a different direction? Because the direction that we were in 8 years ago was not a good one. We were the best at the worst of everything. And so that really was what it was all about. I looked at my son in a conversation with my team of people that were trying to get me to run and realized he was 8. And that we had 10 years, and if we were able to turn the city around in 10 years, by the time he was going off to college, he wouldn't say what I said when I was leaving for college, which is I'm, you know, brushing off the dust of this city and never coming back. I wanted him to say, I want to go get a job and do that here, because as a parent, you know, you want your kids back home. So that was the genesis behind the 10-year plan was my son was 8, and by the time he's 18, we had to create a pretty incredible city.
How long has the city's initiative existed?
Well, we're roughly coming up at about 14 years. Mayor Daley and Mayor Miller from Toronto were the ones that created it because they saw that at the federal level, people were interested in the Great Lakes, but there wasn't a focus on the Great Lakes. And it wasn't until the Great Lakes St. Lawrence Cities and really the GLRI funding was initiated that you saw a direct impact on what was going on with the Great Lakes. And there are other organizations out there like the Great Lakes Alliance and groups like that that are working very hard to protect the Great Lakes. So knowing that it's one of the best resources in the world, there are a lot of groups out there that are working to protect them, and we have to keep the focus there. I think the big issue for us is going to be education. We have to constantly educate not only our people, but the different legislative bodies on why it's important and what it means if you don't protect it, not only financially, because the cost of not doing it is incredible financially, but what it means to your people. And I think, unfortunately, the gift for the planet, but unfortunately, the problem for the people is the Flint issue. You know, the people of Flint have had to suffer through a bunch of horrible decision-making processes, but the people of this planet have come to realize from it that this is a precious, very fragile system. And if you don't protect it, look what can happen.
You said it's time for people to look at the dollar value of water. Is that part of the education that you're talking about?
Well, it has to be, and it's what we've been doing in talking with Congress. And, you know, the example that I give them is that we care for, clean, monitor, and protect our beach daily in Racine. And because of that, because we do that, we have been rated as the 5th best beach in America, the top 200 in the world, and, you know, the best tasting water and a blue wave certified beach, which means you can almost drink the water right out of the lake. That's how pure we've gotten it. But that takes work. So why not be proactive than reactive? Because the proactive side is much cheaper.
So you mentioned GLRI, Great Lakes Restoration Initiative. That's at risk.
Well, right now in the federal budget, the president has cut it from $300 million a year to zero. You know, what people have to understand is that means things like NOAA, National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration, disappears. So what's the relevance to Wisconsin? That pays for the Coastal Management Group in Wisconsin. The Coastal Management Group spends millions of dollars every year taking care of our coastline all the way up and down the Wisconsin border along Superior and Lake Michigan. So there's direct impact on us. And so I think people have to realize that once again, we've gone to the administration and the Congress and said, okay, so you save $300 million, but what's the value of that if it gets worse? So my example to them was roughly, do you want, because all that money is going to be transferred into to the Defense Department, do you want two airplanes or do you want to protect the Great Lakes? That's about the cost differential that we're talking about here. Is the Great Lakes, the greatest body of fresh water in the world, worth two airplanes? And I think the answer to that is yes to most citizens. It's definitely yes to Canada, because they're very concerned about this. But the good news is this. In the Congress that we talked to up there, the 14 or 15 Congress people that we talked to, they all said that they are going to introduce their own budget, and they anticipate that the GLRI money will be in it. So we're hoping that we can make that transition into a congressional budget and start working through it. And we got bipartisan support from both sides of the aisle in Washington, and we're very happy to see that Congress is committed to protecting the Great Lakes.
The city's initiative is a pretty young organization, 14 years, you said. Yeah. What's its track record been? What does it have success stories?
Well, it does. And thanks to David Ulrich and Mayor Daley and Mayor Miller, it has become a very powerful organization in the sense that you use the collective minds and efforts of 128 mayors from around this region in U.S. and Canada, some pretty powerful people. It has done everything from helping us to clean toxic hotspots around the Great Lakes to making sure that we get cleanups when Grand Rapids a couple of years ago had a massive oil spill. When you look at the Bruce Nuclear Power Plant alone, the Great Lakes St. Lawrence Cities Initiative was the organization that stopped a nuclear power plant from literally storing their spent rods 600 feet from the lake. Those types of disasters that are waiting us, really, that one was stopped. But how many more of those are there? Mayor Daley was one that pushed very hard to make sure that we had the resources in case there was a massive oil spill from a ship that would break up. Because as he said, this isn't seawater. This is fresh water. People drink this water. And if you have a tanker that bursts in Lake Michigan, it's going to have a far greater impact than if it does out in the ocean. So I think that David has done a magnificent job. He has brought the prowess of this organization to the forefront on a global level. And now it's my task, as the board has said, to take that to the next step. So I'm going to try to do my best to do that.
So when you say those are Cities Initiative's achievements, is it the fact the group rallied its membership and made a lot of noise?
They not only rally the different groups and the mayors and the organizations and work collaboratively, but they also set the policy and the solution side. And that's the thing that we always talk about. It really doesn't matter how much people chant and scream and shout and holler. It's what are you doing to solve it? Another example that is really a defining example is that the Corps of Engineers has been working on the Asian carp issue in Chicago for 20 years. A couple of years ago, as a board of directors, we said, enough is enough. So the Great Lakes St. Lawrence Cities Initiative, in tandem with some other Great Lakes groups, worked out three scenarios that we have presented now to the administration, the Corps, and the mayor of Chicago, and said, here are three scenarios for you to turn this around. One that's a little cheaper, one that's kind of in the middle, and one that's very expensive. So we get to the point where we are a solutions-based organization. We want you to solve this problem, because having the Asian carp get through that electronic net and into Lake Michigan is checkmate for us. And I don't think people realize that those fish eat basically 90% of the good stuff in the lake. And we already have enough problems with zebra and quagga mussels. If they get in, your fishing industry is pretty much over.
Getting back to the lead issue, you mentioned Flint. Does Racine have a plan for removing, replacing all of those lines, flood service lines? And then beyond that, how does that aging infrastructure and the danger of lead and other contaminants, how does that figure into the city's initiative work?
So one of the things that we did here that I would like to bring to the city's initiative work is we created a long-range plan for the city for not only our streets and infrastructure, but also all of our lead lateral lines and the pipes going into the house. So we went after a $500,000 grant, which we received, to help do about 200 of them.
How many do you have?
About 34,000 total lead lines. We've been working on it for years already, though. So we've already started this process. The toughest part that we have is we have been telling residents we can come in and do this for free, and they still are saying no. So that's an education piece, right?
You can do the entire line?
We'll do the entire line to their house for free, and they're still saying no because they don't want the disruption. So that's an education piece. But what I'd like to bring to the city's initiative is kind of the best practice that we created here and start informing other cities that, you know, this is how we did it. Is this something that could help you?
So as you move on to the city's initiative, and if it just happened to evolve that your board says, what initiative, what project do you feel most passionate, most important to put on the top of the list? What will it be?
The board will decide what are the key issues, and that's what we do. And we're going to be doing some long-range planning right out of the box on what they want to do and what they want to accomplish. I think probably the most important for me going into this is the education piece, utilizing social media to educate people on what's really going on so that they can make decisions based on real-life stories, real-life things that are happening and things that impact them. I think that's one thing that we can do a lot more, and it's been shown that the social media side can really get your message out there quickly. But the board's going to decide our direction, and I'm good with that. And the fact that I get to work with my colleagues, wow. I mean, can you ask for anything better? You really can't.
You mentioned earlier that there's a number of organizations of various, from both countries and different combinations that are looking out, trying to protect the Great Lakes. How much collaboration is there going on among those groups?
I've been talking with them for the last 3 or 4 years about that. And I was doing it not even knowing about this job or this opportunity, but just saying we're stronger together. So I've actually been meeting from the U.S. Conference of Mayors Water Council to the Great Lakes, meeting with different organizations saying, how are we going to start collaborating? Because the power is actually in the people. And we all have to pick, three items that we're going to push through Congress and start, moving this stuff along. So we'd started that a long time ago. And David Ulrich, the current director, he has a collaborative effort where they are 5 different priorities for the majority of the groups that are out there. So now it's just a matter of working that and trying to change, change the space that we're in D.C. Because, again, if we don't, it's going to get a lot worse. We've had a dramatic transition. We've had a conservative to a liberal in Canada. We've had a liberal to a conservative in the United States. So now it's time to work that both of those sides as well.
You have members both Canadian and U.S.
We're going to be juggling 2 federal governments, yes. So I'll be doing some time in the Toronto office and Canada. And, I've been up there a lot. Love it. And Prime Minister Trudeau is very supportive of the Great Lakes. I'm looking forward to working with him. We have a lot of work to do and a little bit of travel, but it'll all be good.
You talked about your decision to run for mayor was in great part to rebuild your community for your kids. Mm-hmm. Your kids are older now, but how do you feel about leaving that behind?
Well, one of the things that I did was the family made this decision. And I look back at the 10-year plan that I put together, and we're coming up on our 9th year, and for the most part, the Hotel Convention Center gets done. We're about 98% done with that plan. So I always said that we wanted to make sure that we dealt with jobs. Unemployment's down from 17 to 5. We've built a whole new structure of things that helped people be employed, from new entrepreneurs all the way up to the bigger companies. Crime, we're a 52-year low in crime, and we've rebuilt some of the worst neighborhoods in the city and brought them back to life, and housing. And we have created a system in our departments and now a new Racine Housing Partnership that is probably the most streamlined operation that we've ever had in the city, and it's rebuilding more houses and putting more people back in home ownership than ever in the city's history. So I look at all these things, and we've done what we have said we were going to do. We created a plan, and then we followed the plan. We've got the city moving in the right directions. We've received 7 top 20 awards in this country in the last 4 years, and 3 of them were top 5s. So we're moving in the right direction. You know, the question is, will the next mayor grab the torch and keep running with it? And that's my hope and prayer, is that they do. Because, you know, there's so many negative ninnies out there that just want to keep sitting around complaining about everything with no solutions. And for 8 years, I've ignored them. And the reason I ignore them is because I started with what they left. And they left us in a hole that was pretty deep. And I had the blessing of people like Tom Friedel and my department heads who have helped us rebuild this city and put it back on track. And there are a lot of volunteers and people and organizations that have helped us do that. But, you know, if you want to just sit around and whine about it, then go somewhere else. I always tell everybody, get off the track because this train's moving. And we have more work to do. We're still not the number one city in America. And we still have people struggling, and we still have people that need jobs, and so we're going to keep working through that.
John Dickert is the current mayor of Racine. He announced last week that he will leave his position in July in order to head the Great Lakes and St. Lawrence Cities Initiative. Dickert spoke with Lake Effect's Susan Bentz, and for more information, you can go to wuwm.com.